I'm Piers Corbyn from Let the UK Live, and today I was active for Let the UK Live and also for the National United Front Against Zone Controls, where we're trying to get together all different people fighting different aspects of zoning, such as low traffic neighbourhoods, clean air zones, which includes ULEZ and the 15-minute cities,
Now,
and of course the fake congestion zones, such as
before we
Cambridge.
talk about what's been going on in London, sorry to interrupt you, but before we
No
talk
problem.
about what's been going on in London, can you just say something about the protest in Oxford? Because I think it's interesting that Oxford has been chosen. It's my old city, and I have had all sorts of dealings with the particularly Green Party. In fact, I was in the Green Party in Oxford and got
Right.
to know a lot of the people there. And particularly Elise Benjamin and Craig Simmons, who were a couple, were very pro-Zionist. And I was quite surprised
Right.
to see that they were featured prominently in the politics of the city for a long time. But, they clearly were targeting Oxford as a city that they thought was quite an intellectual place, that it was an important place to control the politics of. So can you just t take us through what's happening in Oxford and what happened the other week?
Well, there was a big march the other week where it'd been nationally mobilised because people around the country thought that Oxford was quite a place to, one, it's quite easy to get to, and secondly, it was one of the first where they were trying this 15-minute city zoning policy. And so, we at Let the UK Live and other groups around the country thought, well, yeah, let's make that a big one. So we did, it was a big march. It was focused on the 15-minute zoning, but of course, we and others pointed out it was important not just to talk about that, but all the zoning issues and of course where they come from, namely World Economic Forum policies to lock us down. Because all these zoning schemes have got the same things. They're going to cost you money. They control you, and they're also there to propagate the climate con because they claim all these things are necessary to save the planet, when in fact they're actually causing more pollution by making people travel greater distances. And there was massive opposition across the board from a very wide range of people, and leaflets from various groups, including ours, were very well received by the public.
So what okay, you've briefly sketched out what they're planning in Oxford. But for people listening, what could they expect in their own hometowns?
Well, in their own hometowns, the first thing you would expect is they start low traffic neighbourhoods, which means they start blocking roads, which is a terrible trouble for delivery services. As well as taxis, blocking roads and putting planter boxes in them instead, and saying this is for cleaner, greener, or something. Then they move on to having things such as 15-minute zones, where they're talking about breaking up the cities or towns into different areas so that you can only buy things. Well, the theory is they will make it so that you'll be able to buy anything within 15 minutes, and then they say in order to help you do that, we're going to ban cars leaving the area for 3 days a week. Now, that makes no sense whatsoever. But when it's wrapped in the green hat, it's for people to believe. And the third big thing, of course, they do is ultra low emission zones or clean air zones, which cover whole cities. And most cities in this country are now have got these things or are facing them. The big cities, that is. And that's for older cars, presenting older cars driving around on the grounds that they are polluting. But interestingly, the 15-minute zoning is controlling all cars, including electric vehicles. So again, that their raison d'être makes no sense.
No, I mean, for example, for elderly people, I mean, they can't, maybe, well, they can't be expected, particularly if they're a bit infirm, to cycle from A to B, especially in the winter.
No, that is ridiculous. Cycling or walking within 15 minutes is ridiculous. But for old people, yes, of course. So they do need to drive cars.
The most vulnerable, the elderly, many of them across the country are feeling hemmed in and bullied by this. They're the people that really do, in their retirement, rely on their cars to get from A to B, to get to, you know, a weekly shop, and they're being told, no, you can't use your car, you're going to have to take it on your bike, even in the pouring rain in the winter. I mean, this seems to me a fascist edge to this.
There is a fascist edge to this. Because the idea you can get anything you want within your zone is ridiculous anyway. So you're definitely going to have to go outside the zone, and then, okay, you're mostly going to want to have a car. And that is a fact. It's been pointed out in London as well that the extension in London is to areas where there's much worse public transport. So in terms of the ULEZ, this is a real, real problem for people who've been forced to sell their cars because they can't afford to drive around.
I mean, that's right. We've got we've got these ultra low emission zones and clean air zones, they call them, being implemented in Bristol and Bath.
Yep.
But there was a new story last week, Piers, that said that over the last 18 months, actually half of the bus services have gone. I mean, we're not talking about the actual bus numbers, but several routes have been taken out completely. And overall, the BBC have calculated that only half the buses that were running a year and a half ago are now running, because what they're doing is they're starving service. So, for example, a bus will appear on the screen and then actually then just disappear, but no bus ever came. So they're
exactly. I've noticed this in London at times as well.
They're taking buses out of the timetable, even though they are appearing on the screen, you know, at the top of the bus stop, as if they're there, and then they go, and then no bus has come. So, I mean, obviously, if you're going to restrict people using their cars, I mean, it seems obvious that you must have better public transport, and yet actually the public transport here in Bristol is considerably worse.
No, that's correct. Well, you see, what they're heading for is people being locked into zones interminably. I mean, that is what they've said, you see. The World Economic Forum policies, or the UN policies, which are the same thing, basically. Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 envisage people being zoned into areas and not being allowed to move.
Nobody in Bristol or Bath voted for this World Economic Forum.
No.
This is what I was going to ask you, is what is going on? And you're telling me that you believe these policies are coming from a business body, an international business body, that nobody has ever elected.
Correct. That's what we're saying. And it's exactly the same in London. So Sadiq Khan's question and answer thing today, which is I was attending, was... masses of people in there, over half the audience screaming and shouting at him all the time, and pointed out that his plans for extending the ultra-low emission zone had not been in his manifesto, and opinion polls had showed they were opposed by 90% of people in outer London. Yet he's proceeding. So what did he have to say to that? And the answer was nothing. He just thought nonsense about reducing pollution and that carbon dioxide by implications of pollutant, which isn't true. But the plans do increase pollution by making people drive further. Unless, of course, you put it into a framework of abolishing all vehicles. And they do believe in getting rid of a private car anyway by 2030.
What's their agenda? Why are they doing this?
They are doing this because they envisage a new way of running the world, which is a very top-down thing, a world government. And people controlled to live in smaller areas where they're easy to control, and less people living in countryside, which will be taken over by rewilding and a generally lower population world. Now, I know it's difficult to believe that this is what people are planning for us, but that is what they say in their agendas, and the lower population is upon us because of the numbers who are dying now from having taken the injections.
Okay, so what was Sadiq Khan supposedly announcing and discussing?
Well, it was his regular monthly question and answer. And as I said, mysteriously, it was suddenly full when me and some others turned up. But I think they'd had already agreed that they wouldn't have let us in anyway, because we're on a list of people who might disrupt. I think that's a problem. But it was just a Q&A. And the first question, in fact, was from someone from Ealing who stood up and said these 15-minute zoning conversations, which are happening in the council, and the EULAZ extension was nothing in your nothing mentioned in your manifesto, and it is opposed by people. What have you got to say to that? And his response was just rambling into metaphysical nonsense about supposed pollution which he's creating.
This is an important question, because this is about whether this is a democratic decision he's implementing or not.
That was the question, and the answer was the trouncing of democracy. And some GLA members, that's elected people on the Greater London Authority, were shouted out at that point and said, answer the question, you know. So he's getting stick from, you know, people right beneath him, but he still presses on. Now, we think that we can win on EULAZ, especially if people defy effectively, like driving at will and refusing to pay. Yeah. And that will bring him down. It will bring down EULAZ and bring down Sadiq Khan. Well, and this is now the wish of millions of Londoners.
Well, we're all looking at London and seeing how you guys get on. Yeah. I mean, he's also chair of this, I think, isn't it, some sort of global parliament of mayors or something?
Yeah, the C40, yes. I don't know what the 40 stands for, but it's the C40 cities. And they've hatched a thing called a Healthier Cities Conference, which is happening on the Ides of March. And we're going to have a demonstration outside there. And the Ides of March conference, or rather the Healthy Cities conference, is saying that our healthier city, we've got to reduce motor cars and control your lives. Well, it's a nonsense. If you want to make motor cars cleaner, you could improve the catalytic converters in them. That would be the answer. But you see, they're using that health as an excuse to control. So we're going to be there in big numbers. Wednesday the 15th of March at the Renaissance Hotel of St. Pancras, which is the old Midland Railway Hotel, which is that gigantic red, beautiful old building attached to St. Pancras Station. So we'll be massive people out there saying, go home to you, to these people. You're not welcome in London. We want our freedom to drive and not be controlled.
Yeah, well, I notice with this extension of the EULAZ, I mean, isn't it out to the M25 or something?
It is. That's what they want, yeah.
So this is going to be including all sorts of people in a clean air charge in areas that are already quite clean.
They are, completely.
I mean, and also, of course, they're not served by public transport. You're talking about, actually, there are quite a lot of villages in amongst, you know, on the outskirts of London, where there's virtually no public transport.
And they need cars. I was in Havering yesterday, which is, you know, one of these places covered. Havering is quite a low-income working-class area, and I tell you, everybody we met in the street was supporting us. We don't want the EULAZ extension. We know it's going to destroy our businesses. Yeah. We know it's going to prevent us moving around. We need our cars.
It's not just the people of London, is it? It's also some of the local borough councils, I think, are resisting.
Oh, they are. There's 11 of the outer London boroughs, including Havering, have they're opposing the EULAZ extension. So we were outside Havering Council saying, well, okay, what are you going to do? First thing you've got to do is refuse to allow the cameras to be installed. Second thing is you should take down all the other cameras you've got put up for low traffic neighbourhoods. And of course, we also called on them to have a public debate in the council chamber with for and against represented on whether or not man-made climate change exists. Because, you see, this is the backdrop story for all of these things. And it will also be the story for another lockdown in the name of climate change or a virus which has been induced upon us by climate change, which will be a fiction, but the backdrop story is going to be man-made climate change.
So, Piers, how do people follow what you're up to?
Yeah, come to lettheuklive.com, or for more immediate things, go to a Telegram group, Piers_Corbyn_stop new normal. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but at least you'll find everything there. Piers_Corbyn_stop new normal. And if you're interested in the ultra low emission zone, it's an easy one to remember. It's EULAZ, can't pay, won't pay.
Now, Lars, asking you about your brother, because he's been told, hasn't he, that he's not going to be allowed to stand as a Labour candidate. I mean, they seem to do this to quite a lot of perfectly respectable and extremely popular leaders. I suppose there's two questions, really. Why has the Labour Party done this to Jeremy? And secondly, what do you think he should do as a response?
Yeah, well, they've done it because they... Well, partly it's symbolic, of course, that Starmer wants to prove himself to the World Economic Forum. And he's already said he'd prefer to be in Davos than in Westminster. So, you know, we know where he stands. But he wants to prove to them that he's worthy. So that means getting rid of people like my brother who do regularly speak against monopoly mega-capitalist corporations, you see. And that's the main reason why they want to get rid of him. It's a symbolic thing. What should he do? Well, I think he should stand as an independent Labour or independent, whatever he can call himself, in his own constituency, namely Islington North, where he's got a majority of 26,000, which is bigger than the number of people that voted for quite a lot of MPs anyway. So, you know, he's got a good chance doing that. So Labour will then have to decide if they're going to put up a fight against that or not. They would have to, but I think they would lose.
They might have to allow him to stand invite him back into the fold as they had to do with Ken Livingstone.
Well, that's right. That could be the consequence. If he gets re-elected under his own steam, they might have to do that. Yeah. The other thing is, some people are saying he should stand to be London Mayor, but I'm intending to stand to do that myself. May 2024. But of course, the May 2024 elections is going to be the GLC, GLA, mayor, parliament, all on the same day, probably. So it wouldn't make any sense for Jeremy to stand for mayor on that, because people would just accuse him of running away from his own constituency. So I think that's a diversion, that idea, and it's probably put there to confuse him.
Interesting. But look, you've just mentioned the World Economic Forum in relation to Jeremy as well as to the other climate stuff, or the climate scam, you probably call it. But who are these people? They seem to be running the show.
Well, yes, who are they? Well, Klaus Schwab is the name of one, but I think they're really essentially just working for the bigger mega corporations, which are now running the world. Namely, the pharmaceutical industry and the high-tech industry.
King Charles isn't running a corporation, is he? He's one of the World Economic Forum, too.
That is true, yeah. Well, he's a nice figurehead for them. He's also a very rich man, of course. Yes, I mean, I think it is reprehensible that the king of this country is considering doing the bidding of the WF, because you see, they developed their own charter. They call it the Terror Charter, the Earth Charter, which is green nonsense, requiring people to be controlled in various ways in the name of saving the planet. But you know, the king ought to be defending the Magna Carta, which does bestow on us certain basic rights, although possibly it's overrated as a document. But nevertheless, you know, it represents English law, and that's what we have to support, or now UK law, as opposed to law imposed from outside, which is what the World Economic Forum will be doing if they get away with it. So we do have to oppose the whole shooting match, and ULEZ, of course, is, and all the zoning things are really, you know, just one part of it, but they're a crucial part, and it's important we understand the bigger picture.
Just remind us of the date of the demonstration and whereabouts it's taking place on the island.
The next big one on zoning and against this fakery using health to control us is the Ides of March, Wednesday the 15th of March at the St. Pancras Renaissance Hotel, which is the old Midland Hotel, next to St. Pancras Station on Euston Road. It's going to be all day. We don't know what time it's starting, but we're going to make a big special rally there at 12 noon, whatever.
Well, hope people aren't late for that. And even if you are, you're not going to be shut out. Don't worry. Here's Corbyn. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, Tony.